All right, let's jump into a message real fast. As y'all know about last week, I started a message that just the Lord again birthed on my heart to prepare people in these last days, or as we all say, the last of the last days. Because at any time, I still believe it, no matter if the skies are clear, God can in a split faster than a second cause clouds to come, where the Bible says when the trumpet is sounded and the clouds separate, Jesus will appear to come get the elect, you and I. I did a study on the very first thing that goes up is the dead in Christ. Now, it's not talking about someone being born again that's just in the ground and you're just in a state of waiting. No, the Bible says if you're absent from the body when you die, you're present with the Lord because you're a spirit. But a lot of times you'll have a body in the ground, or even if it was cremated or if it was burned up in a fire and you were born again, it doesn't matter. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, is what will come up, because when you go to heaven, we have what we call a glorified body given to us, which can't get sick. Right now, it's not glorified because it can get sick and it can die, right? The flesh. But God's going to give us a glorified body. And that's why it says those bodies, I don't care if it's out in the ocean, it sunk in a ship, those bodies that are born again, they're going to be raised to meet Jesus in the air, okay? Now, all of us that are still here, the Bible calls us the elect, the ones that gave their lives to Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of your life. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ is raised, then the Bible says the elect, the people of God, the born-again people, is going to be called up to meet Jesus in the air. Oh, Jesus, that's going to be a wonderful thing. That's not a scary thing, y'all. Now, I know young people like my kids sometimes are like, "No, yeah, but Lord, please don't come back right now, because I hadn't gotten married and I hadn't had children and I haven't accomplished some goals." But really, really, I understand those thoughts, and it's a normal thing to think like that. But listen, we're going to be up there for about 7 years during a time of tribulation right here on the earth. We don't want to be here if you study the Word of God, so we're going to be out of here. But listen to me. If you just read this Bible, it's a cool book. Amen. As a Christian. We're coming back for a 1,000-year reign without sin. Amen. Okay? So we're coming back. And I don't know why we wouldn't still get to rope and ride. It's going to be a little different. Amen? And so, since we're in the last of the last days before Jesus appears, we've got to continue living for the Lord. We've got, and I know you still have to have a job, and He still wants you to have dreams and those kind of things come to pass. If you're submitted to God, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But don't think for one minute the enemy, the devil, the adversary, won't try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Don't think he won't try to bring things to get you off of the road of blessing that we talked about earlier. Don't think that he won't attack through those trials and tribulations. The key is we as Christians having the authority to use the name of Jesus, that is the name above all names, right? We have dominion and power over sin according to the Word of God. We have the right to tell the devil to get thee behind us, just do it in Jesus' name and not under your own power. So that when we do go through trials and tribulations, living in a world but not living of the world, we'll know what to do. We won't stay in the midst of a trial and tribulation. So if you're dealing with bad thoughts, if you have fear issues, if you have a body that is broken with disease and sickness in some ways, then we need this message. We need to know that God's for us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We need to know and have confidence in our Savior that when we speak the word of God by faith, that by golly, it'll work for us. Amen. And this is just not a playtime to hope that we go to heaven when we leave this earth. No, no, no. We may have the helmet of salvation on, but we need to know how to live in this world like we're going to live in heaven. We need a Savior, y'all. Someone was telling me, maybe it was Mom, as we were driving to the high school rodeo yesterday, that she said, "Did you hear about those Grammys?" I said, "No, I just don't." And she just happened to see that there was one entertainer that won an award that was dressed like the devil, had demons all behind him, and all a bunch of junk. And most of us would probably don't even watch that stuff. But I was amazed because there was a time back when we didn't have any of that stuff on our airways. Now you can cuss. I mean, they're writing songs now, and maybe not on FM and AM can you cuss in your song, but you can on that satellite. And I'm like, wow, man, he... But people don't even think that, you know, the little A word or the damn stuff is actually a cuss word. They just think it's just regular talk, when in all reality, it is most of the time. You know, unless you're talking about a water dam. Well, since the enemy is attacking more today because he knows his time is running out, and he's trying to get as many people that was even with the faith to go against the faith and walk away from it. Isn't that sad how the word says that in the last days that people will turn away from the faith? Golly, I can't imagine that because I need a Savior. How about y'all? I need the Lord in my life. Well, we got to figure out what the word says about standing against trouble, because trouble's going to come. But you can stand against it. You don't have to beat yourself up constantly going into one trouble after another. No, get freed from that. Start living like God. So last week, I began to teach us about five scriptures that I found to where we can stand against trouble. The first one, y'all, remember, was Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, he's our refuge. He's our fortress. In our God we trust, right? And then you keep reading in Psalms. That's a great book of protection, man. Angels that are charged over you and me. Praise the Lord. But really, under his protection is where you find rest. And I can imagine most all of us need rest, right? I mean, we're just give out trying to fight the good old fight of faith when in all reality, sometimes we do it wrong. And we do it on our own measure instead of just saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about you, devil. You remember that story of that preacher that was sleeping and the devil comes into his room and he wakes up and all he says is, "Oh, it's you." And turns over and goes back to sleep. And most people would be freaked out. The devil is in my room. Ooh. But see, that preacher knew who he was in Christ Jesus. And he knew that that's just a fallen angel. That the only way a devil can mess with you is he has to mess with someone and tempt them to go do harm, and then that person, the fleshly one, has to submit to the temptation of the devil and do something bad. So that's why it's really important to pray Psalms 91 over you. As my daughter left her and Jamie to a clinic, and my wife went with my daughter to a barrel racing clinic just to learn how to sharpen up a little more. They just happened to do it on this weekend yesterday. Well, the first thing I said was, plead the blood. When my son went to his cousins, because I knew I was going to come back here and preach, and then I'll go back to the rodeo today in Hamilton. What did I say first to Seth? Hey, listen to me. Plead the blood. Plead the blood over you, over your trailer, over your horses, over you, over your truck. That's Psalms 91. And then the second scripture that causes us to stand against trouble is Philippians 4 and 6. And all that is just telling God what you need. And then thanking Him for what He's done. You know, what do you need? Just talk to Him. Just tell Him, hey, sir, I need some wisdom. James says if you ask for wisdom, that wisdom will be given to you liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. So there's something about not being prideful enough to ask for some help. Sir, I need wisdom on how to get out of this mess. I need some wisdom on what to do in this particular situation. So ask Him, you see. Well, let's get through the third, fourth, and fifth in this message of Scripture to stand against trouble. I want you to turn in your Bibles to an epistle called 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And get those pages of flipping, man, because we're going to roll today. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you get to Hebrews, then keep going to your right, and you'll find 1 Peter chapter 5. And when you're there, say amen. Amen. And let's see what the Lord says here. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let me see where we should start. Let's start in verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves. And remember, I told you last week or the week before, or maybe the week before, or last year, or the year before, or maybe a couple of years ago, maybe when we started 18 years ago, that nowhere in the Word of God, unless you take it out of context, does it say God will humble you. Brother, you better be careful. And we've said that all of our lives. You know, brother, you better get right. God will humble you. Well, all that insinuates is that God's responsible for bad things that go on in our life, trying to get us to humble ourselves and look up. No, no, no. So God's not responsible for humbling you. To be real honest, what does this word just say? Verse 6, humble, look at it, say it, yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Let's stop right there, because you know what all that is saying? We could have prayed that for all the people that came up here. Matter of fact, that may be a scripture that you stand on and keep in front of you constantly. When you start feeling pressure come, anxiety, stress, take this scripture out and just speak it out. Say, Father, the Word of God says that I'm to cast all of my cares upon You because You care for me. All that means is that there's no worry. You see, that's a scripture to stand against trouble. Declaring, well, I'm not worrying about that. Years ago, I started this saying, and I haven't said it in a while to this church, but let's just remind ourselves. It was because of my dad. I was about 21 or 2, maybe 20 in that area. And if you don't know my testimony, I walked away from the Lord. He didn't walk away from me. He's always there. Never leaves you or forsakes you, right? But I was kind of running because of a heartbreak. A stinking girl. And I thought I was supposed to marry her. Oh, thank God for unanswered prayers. I made it most of college. Bible study was in my dorm room. I mean, you know, I was raised in the ministry with mom and dad. My dad was a pastor. Mom and dad led the singing at a lot of churches and then pastored them, etc. Then in 1984, we started singing as a musical family with my spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, at rodeos. The first one, Odessa, Texas, at a high school rodeo. And then from there, the just doors came open everywhere. So as I'm in college, I make it almost through college in about May. Just as we're just about out of college, she calls me on the telephone. Not in person, on the phone. Now this is someone that was the homecoming queen. I thought, oh yeah, I got it. Life is good. She was 1 year younger, but she calls me and says, hey, I want to start dating other people. And seriously, I think I've got a little soul brother in me. I do, because I said, do what? What'd you say? You want to start dating other people? Don't you know who I am? I have a music album. And she did that. She kind of laughed like, so? But it hurt me, as y'all know, not making light. It was a hurtful time. And so as I'm riding close to Ira and Texas, if you never know that, you got to get on Interstate 10. You got Sheffield. You got Ira and. You got McCamey. You keep going, you know, to the west. You'll get to Fort Stockton. If you head to the north, you'll get to Odessa and McCamey and some of those areas. Not very far from Junction, even, you know, Sonora. But right there in the middle is goat and sheep country, Ira and Texas. And I'm with my dad because he had been welding for a rancher there, the McMullins. And I'm broken, you know. I'd lost about 10 pounds. I left college, went to the ranch. I just left about a week of school. And went to the ranch in Fort Stockton. I believe we were headed back to the ranch at Fort Stockton. And my dad could tell I was beat up, wasn't talking. And he looked at me and said, he said, son, number one, it's okay to cry. And when he said that, I just bawled like a baby. There wasn't anybody there, so except my dad. And then he looked at me and said, you know what you need? Now, I can't tell you exactly what he said. But he said, you know what you need? And I said, what, Dad? He said, you need to get a I don't give a crap attitude. But I'll be honest with you. He was a man of God. He didn't use crap. He used the S-I, you know, word. And I was like, because I'd never heard my dad ever say a cuss word. And I felt like that was a cuss word. And I said, what? He said, you need to get a I don't give a care attitude. And then he stopped and he started teaching me. He said, I'm not saying you don't care about things, but you don't need to care to where it moves you to where you're at right now. In depression, in sadness, in crying over a girl. You see. Well, it woke me up. And he had to say it the way he said it so I could wake up. And that changed my life right there. And so from that point on, I've always had an attitude where I've had to say, you know what? I just don't care. And I'm not saying we don't care, but I'm just not going to let it move me to all the things that the devil wants me to be moved to. No, I need joy in my life. So when someone comes to the church, they're brand new a lot of times, and believe it or not, God brings, or the devil brings people just to disrupt a service like this. They sometimes don't even mean to, but they're led, and they'll come in and start trying to correct things, how they were raised, and you're not leading the church like my old pastor led that church that I was raised up in, And or they'll just get mad at different things. No one said hello to me. which is not right. But by golly, don't let that offend you. Because people are, they got a lot of stuff going on in their minds sometimes. Maybe you need to love on them a little bit so that they can get freed from the stresses of this life. But when they get upset and they've been maybe going here for a while, and then they leave offended, half the time want to have a meeting with me, I'll let you know right now, I have never had a meeting with someone that's already decided to leave. Because I don't want that puke getting on me. Because that's all they're going to do, is just puke up stuff to you know, that they're feeling. No, you just need to let them go. Let them go and get to where God's called them to be, but it ain't here. You see, there's times when I have to say, because a lot of preachers, it ruins them. I mean, it will ruin them when someone comes against them. But not me, because I know my call. You know what it is, really? I've got confidence. Amen. I just got confidence in the call of God. And I may have to say I apologize if I did something wrong. Usually don't mean to. See, that's what this is talking about right here. Cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It'll take out all the stress. Say amen to that. Look at the fourth thing. The fourth scripture to stand on when trouble tries to come. Let's turn over real fast to the left to John. John chapter 16. John's Gospel in chapter 16. And check out now what really Jesus is saying, because it's in red here in John. And let's go down close to 33. Now, let's start in verse 27, for the Father Himself loves you, because ye loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth, verse 28, from the Father, and I am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Now this is where Jesus really had a tough time, because He is declaring that He's the Son of God. Then He's prophetically saying that He's going to have to leave, which is the crucifixion, right? And that's a tough thing. So the disciples in 29 said unto Him, lo, let me read in the Amplified, it makes a little more sense. His disciples said, oh, now you are speaking plainly to us and not in parables, language and features of speech are veiled. Verse 30 says, now we know that you are acquainted with everything and have no need to be asked questions. Because of this, we believe that you really came from God. We believe it. And then look what it says, verse 31. We believe you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Just now? Are you just now believing? Do you believe at last? Verse 32, but take notice, the hour is coming, Jesus is saying, and it has arrived when you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Here's where we're going. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In other words, even though Jesus was here, and the disciples are going to need to go to where they need to minister. They need to do the call of God. Have no fear, because I'm still with you, Jesus said. In me, you'll have perfect peace and confidence. But in the world, that's why it says we live in a world but not of it. In the world, you'll have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. Then it says this, be of good cheer. Take courage in the Amplified. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world and have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Come on, someone say amen. Our God, because He lives in us, is for us. He's not against us. He's already overcome the world. So why don't we just live in that faith where the enemy has no right to even mess with the child of God? And if you'll begin to declare those things, then you'll have the manifestations of the blessing of God take place in your life. And you won't fear anything. You'll just get that chest out and the shoulders back, and you'll confidently tell that devil where to go, and you'll live in the peace of God that passes the understanding. I mean, it's up to us to carry on what God has done. So just because Jesus is not here and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he's still in us by the Spirit of God. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So the word here in John is trying to say, look, count it all joy, y'all. Chill out just a little bit. Understand that I've already conquered hell, death, the grave, and I've already conquered everything that you'll go through. If you'll just take the authority that I've given you now, since I am seated at the right hand, I'm not here in the flesh any longer. It's up to you to come on and carry on my word. So that's why in trouble, you need to stand on this scripture in John 16 and 33. That again says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Because in the world you're going to have everything else called tribulation and unpeace. Praise God. We need peace. Amen. All right, now look at the last thing and we'll close. I want everybody to turn to the very front of your Bible. Everybody, are you there? Yeah. Well, if you have a phone, you won't have to because it won't make sense. I want you to turn in the front of your Bible, and I want you to go to the table of contents, okay? And I want you to look in the Old Testament, and I want you to find Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, because if you start searching for it, you don't go to this book very much. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, go there now. Find it. Does anybody know what page it's on? It's 1469 in mine. But to find it yourself now. Tell me when you're there. Go to chapter 1. Don't be prideful. There's times when I'm like, where is Zechariah? You know, and some of those books are so little that you'll just pass over. You'll look forever. No. Just go to the table of contents and let's get the pride out of the way. And we can find that book really fast. Are y'all there? Here's the last thing and we'll close. A scripture to stand on in trouble. Let's jump down. Let's just go straight to the verse. Verse 7. Chapter 1. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Look at that. Look at what it says. The Lord is, say it with me, good. All right, look back up here real fast because you'll move ahead of me if you were not careful. That has to be the first thing you get a hold of. Amen. God is good. The devil is bad. Say it again. God is good because he's the Lord. The devil is bad. Okay? I help people, I think, so much. The Word does. The Word helps people so much because if we ever get a hold of that, we'll know how to serve the Lord when we read the Bible. Anything bad comes from the devil. He steals, kills, destroys. Anything good comes from God. Amen? So don't let that confuse you. If you have a doctor tell you you have cancer, is that good or bad? Right? That is bad, y'all. Well, people, religious people, even preachers, will turn that around and say, well, it could be good because God could use it for the glory of Him. Well, yeah, but you've got to start with bad. And God's not the author of bad, right? Why? Well, because the Word of God, all through the Word of God, says the Lord is good, a strong hold in the day of trouble. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Let's say it again. The Lord is. Say it with some confidence, y'all. The Lord is. He's good. He's good. Oh, my God's good. That's why we want to thank Him. Oh, You're so good, Lord. Thank You for getting me out of that mess. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing of God coming my way. Thank You, Lord, when I needed some finances to get by for the month, You just brought it in. I'm telling you, if you get into the kingdom of God, God will bless you if you just believe it by faith. I'll never forget Glenn telling me he was give out on the road. He had traveled miles and miles and finally got home to Post, Texas, where they were where their headquarters were at the time. It's been 25 years ago, probably, or more. And he didn't have any money. He spent it all in the ministry. And so him and Ann get home. They get their motor home plugged in. And they're like, man, all I want is a hamburger. And I don't have any money. And the guy that worked for them, Jay, had locked the office where they couldn't get into some petty cash just to go get a hamburger. They'd been gone for months, didn't have anything in the house. And Glenn just spoke and said, Father, man, I just need 20 bucks. And the wind was blowing. If you know Post, Texas, Lubbock, all that area, you know tumbleweeds? Anybody ever seen a tumbleweed? A tumbleweed rolled by him, and there was a $20 bill on it. You know what he did first? Thank you, sir. I mean, that's a miracle anyway, right? I mean, it happened all through the Bible. I mean, a fish brought Peter some finances to pay his taxes. A fish, remember? You see, there's something about knowing how good God is. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows them that trust Him. You see, I'm telling you, these are five scriptures to stand on against trouble. I didn't say trouble was not going to come, because it comes. The devil doesn't want us happy. But the more you resist him, the more you resist him. Remember, in one of those scriptures, if you kept reading, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the ones that he cannot penetrate, he can't get you down. He can't cause you to lose joy. He can't get you out of the peace of God. No, you just cast all your cares on him. You just turn it over to the Lord. You stand on these scriptures. God, if you be for me, the devil cannot be against me. For greater is he that's in me. You know, and you start just speaking those, you stand on those words and watch what happens. The devil has to go look for someone else he can get into stress and anxiety and all those things. Not a man and a woman of God that would just simply live by his word. And again, you deserve it. You deserve the blessing. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to have peace. You go out there here in a minute, and if a partner misses, not with the peace of God, you'll just blow it off. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes that it'll cause a fight between professional cowboys when they rope together and one's constantly missing. I mean, it will ruin the team, you see. No, not with the peace of God, though. You'll just say, it happens. Better you than me. At least they're not upset. That's why I started steer roping. I don't have to have a partner. Amen. So today, calm down. Calm down, y'all. Here's scriptures we can stand on in all areas. And I'll say this one caution, and then we'll say a salvation prayer. When you fall into the temptation of sin and you fall for it, do not run from God. Run to Him. Because guilt and condemnation that the devil brings, not God, the devil, will try to get you down. He'll try to make you not worthy. He'll try to make you think that you're so far from God's grace that He won't forgive you. Oh, no. His blood covers a multitude of sin. Oh, man. His blood. So not another time, just because some things don't go right, count it all joy. And stand on these scriptures in the midst of trouble in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. You receive it by faith? Amen. Father, I love you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. For loving us so much that you sent your son as a way of escaping trouble. I mean, we're not saying that we never have it. We just know how to not let us affect us if we live by this word. So in these last days, sir, we need your word to stand on firm ground right in the midst of a sinking world. No matter what happens all around us, the things we hear, the things we see, it won't affect our faith in Jesus. No, we're going to get stronger in these last days to stand on your word. We will not participate in the cares of this world. So, Father, thank you for your word. Why don't you say that? Thank you for your word. Because we need it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Maybe you're here this morning and, man, maybe this you just needed something to stand on in some difficult times. All the people in worry and fear and all that, thank God you got set free. But here's an important question that will cause a lot of people to live in stress if you don't have it. And the question is, are you saved? Is the Lord of your life? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you confessed Him before men? Have you made Him the Lord of your life again? If you haven't, you need to today. So I want to lay before you, no preacher, no denomination, no religion, let's say, can save you. According to John chapter 14, there's only one way to salvation. There's only one way, truth, and life to get to the Father in heaven, and it's through Jesus, the Son of God. That's why John 3:16 declares that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And then it just says this, if you'll believe on that Son, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. Well, that's called heaven, y'all. But see, the reason I said it before you is you're going to have to choose that. I can't make you choose heaven. So if there's someone here or you're watching today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and died. If you don't know, you need a Savior. You need Him. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life. So that's what we're going to do right now. But I'm not going to make you do it by yourself. If you go to this church or have gone to this church long enough, I want everybody, even born-again people, to pray this prayer. We're going to be praying it maybe with someone around us, and we'll just pray it with them because they may be praying it for the very first time. And they're asking Jesus to come into their life. But if you are here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying this prayer. I'm telling you, if you do, you'll bust heaven wide open and not hell. And you don't want to go to hell. That's a bad, bad, bad place. The Bible says you'll beg forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it just keep going for a drop of water on your tongue because it's so hot. No, choose heaven. A wonderful place full of the blessing of God. All joy. So let's pray it. Let's pray this prayer. If you're here again, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just simply pray this prayer. And when you pray it out loud, mean what you pray. And I'll lead you in the prayer. You ready? Believers are going to pray it with you. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed just for a second. If you just prayed that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to be bold enough. If you just prayed it for the very first time and you meant it, you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus. All I want you to do with no one looking around is be brave enough to just slip a hand up and say, that was me. I just prayed that prayer for the very first time. And I want you to do it when I count to three. It gives a little boldness. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. No one's looking but me. And some ushers, we're going to give you a Bible. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you gave your life to Him the first time, and it was today, get that hand up. Don't be ashamed. Be bold when I count to three. You ready? One, two, three. Go. Just gave your life. One, two. Thank you, brother. Thank you, my man. Proud of you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Did I miss you? I want to see your hand. Two people. Anybody else? Three? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, look at me.